Happy holidays, everyone. It's Michael. Before we get started, wanted to announce that Inside the 18 and the Union GK community will be at the United Soccer Coaches Convention this January in Anaheim, California. So come on out, meet us and some of the Union Pro mentors while experiencing a live demo of the interactive Union app. Prices will rise after December 13th, so use promo code GKPOD24 for a special rate just for Goalkeeper Podcast listeners. Thanks for making the Union possible, and on with the show. Oh! Happy Thanksgiving, everyone, and welcome to Inside the 18. I'm Michael Magid, live from West Hollywood, California. With me in Woodland Hills, California, the one and only 99 World Cup winner, Saskia Weber, and joining us through the magic of the interweb, the one and only keeper stop himself, Christian Benjamin, over in Connecticut. What's up, dude?
How are you? Thanks for having me.
Hey, are you supposed to get some? Is it cold there?
It could be 80 degrees or 8 in a matter of a 24-hour period. You got to have a Hawaiian shirt and a winter hat at every given moment to be ready for anything.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute, is it cold? And aren't, or you're supposed to get a storm and then it's supposed to be cold?
The land of layers.
Yes, the land of layers.
Sorry, so this is the time of the year that you just have to like go out. You've got literally like a flannel on and then like a big jacket in the car, basically, right? And you just have to run it out at any moment and go grab that while you're on the field.
Honestly, whatever Mother Nature gives me, I'm going to appreciate, because you know, January, February could be zero with 30-mile wind gusts. So, you know, if we can get out and train in, you know, 30-degree weather, as long as I don't crystallize somebody's lungs, we're going to be out there training. So
nice.
Well, speaking of training, Christian, I mean, for a lot of people out there who don't know, obviously they know about Keeper Stop and all the wonderful, you know, contributions you make to the goalkeeping community, not just in regards to like equipment, but also like in content and all that sort of thing. But you're a coach yourself. Why don't you talk a little bit about that before we kind of get into it?
Yeah, I mean, I love goalkeeping. It runs through my brains, veins. That's what I'm passionate about. So, you know, when I first graduated college, I mean, I started as like a goalkeeper coach. I never had a goalkeeper coach growing up. I mean, we're talking about late 80s and 90s. So I learned the position myself. I was a baseball player beforehand. I wanted to be the best. I fell in love as soon as I put my Tony Miolas on, my Royce Tony Miolas. I was never looking back, for those who remember those. And I pride myself on making the goalkeeping experience on and off the field better any way I can. I try to be the best coach, staying up on, you know, the most advanced coaching techniques, motivational techniques, mental performance, what have you. And I mean, Keeper Stop trains hundreds of goalkeepers on a yearly basis out of Connecticut. Whether it be small group training sessions, or we work a lot with, you know, youth players, because I think for whatever reason, grassroots goalkeeping, you know, has been pushed aside. So we try to make sure we're identifying and training the next generation of goalkeepers. So we do have high school goalkeepers and college goalkeepers. And, you know, if everything goes right, you have a pro goalkeeper. It comes out of that.
I mean, I think, you know, one of the things, Susk, in regards to that, I think, you know, a lot of the times out there, you know, there's people out there who, you know, own soccer stores. And a lot of the times, you know, like you know, if you're a parent, you know, you come up to them and say, hey, what's the best type of thing, you know, for my goalkeeper or whatever. And they're not goalkeepers. So they're kind of just like, I don't know, go to that rack over there. Like there's a bunch, we have Adidas and Nike and all sorts of big brands and stuff like that. But, you know, obviously how important it is when people come up to you that there's people that understand equipment that actually understand goalkeeping too.
Yeah. No, I mean, go ahead.
Yeah. I didn't know who he was asking the question to.
I was talking to you. Just ask. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but obviously if you're a store owner, I would hope that you have a staff that knows what they're talking about, especially when it's something specific. Like, you know, it's one thing if you have like a clothing line store, but when you're selling shoes, cleats, gloves, you know, shin guard, there's equipment involved here. So it's very important that your staff would know what they're doing. I worked in a store when I was in high school. I loved selling. I absolutely. World Cup in the mall, Quaker Bridge Mall back in New Jersey. I worked at World Cup.
Love it.
Wait, the place was called World Cup?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't believe I just remembered that name. Yeah, and like I knew my boots. I knew my gear. Like I knew it. Like I knew what I was talking about. I was just a teenager.
You know, and that is one of the interesting things, Christian, you know, because obviously as yourself, as you got involved in equipment and everything like that, was it a kind of at first that you were like, okay, I know what I like. And then as you started getting a little bit more experience, you started recognizing you need to recognize what might be best for other people, maybe not necessarily just for you.
So Keeper Stop prides itself on trying to find the best goalkeeper equipment that fits every budget and mm-hmm. playing need. I didn't grow up in a wealthy family, so I always keep budget as a first and primary concern, coupled with performance. So, I mean, we try everything on. We like to touch and feel most everything, and that's what gets put on the website. I mean, we've been contacted by other larger, much larger goalkeeper or soccer websites, and they're saying, hey, we'd like you to join us, partner, you know, be a part of our team. Like, why do you only carry 200 SKUs or whatever it is, or only 20 pairs of Royce goalkeeper gloves or X number? And it's because we pick them based on price, quality, performance. It's got to hit a certain criteria.
Right.
And that's how we do it because, again, at the end of the day, you know, I'm the owner of Keeper Stop, but I take every purchase personally. I'm a goalkeeper, and I want to go to a tournament and somebody recognize me, and I want them to be like, hey, thank you. As opposed to burn him, you know, like,
he sold us the most expensive gloves possible for our 8-year-old to practice in on concrete.
I try to be objective. People ask me questions like, what's the best goalkeeper glove, or, you know, what budget should I be spending? And I lay it all out, you know. And some days my wife wishes I was a little bit more of a, you know, a true salesman, and like, you know, more money. And I'm like, no, it's not about that. For me, it's the goalkeeping experience, again, on and off the field, because, mm-hmm. you know, at the end of the day, I am a goalkeeper. I happen to own Keeper Stop, but I'm a goalkeeper, 49-year-old goalkeeper that still plays, that loves the position, loves training. You know, my home is in a 18-yard box or on a soccer field. So,
You know, it's interesting you said that, Christian, because Saskia, I'm just thinking about like from a coaching standpoint, right? Just, you know, how many young coaches out there, it's quantity over quality, because, you know, they think, oh, I need to build my business. So they try to put together, you know, as many kids in a session as possible. And then they actually start developing a kind of a reputation of like, oh, well, you know, it's just kind of a workout kind of babysitting service, you know, and my kid's not really improving.
Right. But it's going back to the retail side, it's, and you're also educating the people out there. So you, in the beginning, you said like, you know, you have parents that come in and you they're trying to buy something. You don't know anything about goalkeeping. You have kids that come in and they just see a pair of gloves on their favorite player, and that's what they want. And you know, there has to be a certain amount of education. Okay. What are you using them for? You know, like what kind of glove, what kind of feel, what, like how often is he playing or she playing and everything. And to be able to be invested. And like you said, Chris, like you take every sale personally, you know, cause you're invested in it. And as you should be, like, it's not just a quick fix. Like we can go back to the story I said about UCLA when they just like blankly ordered gloves for the season. Like, okay, this color matches the uniform. You know, and I'm like, keepers can't use those, you know, like we have to sit down, you know, and get the right equipment and talk about it.
Yeah. I love that one. You know, especially when you're talking about like high schools, Christian, where it's like, you know, they get the gear for the team and they've got the team deals or whatever. And it's almost like the goalkeeping equipment is kind of thrown in last minute. They're like, this is just part of the kit right there. And it's really not taking into consideration the young goalkeepers at all.
If at all, at 49, I still play for an Irish team. And they, of course they ordered, you know, 5 teams, new kits. Did the goalkeeper get a kit? No. Thankfully, I own Keeper Stop. So I'm like, I got you. I got the gloves. I got the kit. Don't worry about it. You know? So
it's so true that they don't, do the goalkeepers get like a practice jersey? No, they can just train in their game jersey. And I'm like, but the field players got like practice jerseys and like multiple colors. And...
That's why we're all here, right? It's like,
yeah, exactly.
We help represent and educate the goalkeeper community. So
I remember my men's league team recently got new kits, and they literally, I get the new jersey with my number on it and the gloves. And I'm just like, are you guys getting a different goalkeeper? Because this is an XL. And these gloves are like a size 11. What did you guys do in the off season that you didn't tell me about? Because this is clearly not going to work for me at all. And as we kind of get into the topic, which is the holiday gift guide for 2023, you know, Christian, I do kind of want to bring up that thing is that there is a personalization from a goalkeeping size standpoint. Like some goalkeepers like a little bit more space in their gloves and mm-hmm. some don't. And a lot of parents, you know, like they just go, well, my kid's growing, so I'm just going to get them a glove that they're going to be able to fit into. And then other people are like, oh, well, I want to make sure that it's nice and snug. It's got to be like right on the fingertips or whatever. And then the kid goes, yeah, I don't really like that.
Or the parent buys a glove that the kid will grow into.
Yeah.
Oh, I love the growing into. Yeah.
That's my favorite. I'm like,
You know, but that's really fascinating. So let's kind of get into today's topic, guys. And today's topic is this holiday gift guide 23. And but before we kind of do that, Christian, why don't you just kind of talk from a kind of like a generalist standpoint, like why is this time? Obviously, it's a big gift giving time right now, but why is it also an important time for young goalkeepers to kind of redo their equipment coming into this new season? As you were talking about the climate.
I like to think this time is like the time for goalkeepers to involve everybody else in their goalkeeper experience. The one that would buy my goalkeeper gear when I was younger was my grandmother, actually. So as I said before, you know, your mom and dad are doing what they can to put food on the table, and you know, you may have a pair of gloves for the season, but now it's like, all right, what worked well this season and what do I need going forward? So it's that time period where grandma, grandpa, aunts, uncles, you know, maybe, you know, some like a mentor of yours or a coach can be a part of that goalkeeper buying experience. So for me, it's more inclusive. I mean, summertime, you see, you know, hey, I need something for tryouts or for this season. But now it's everybody. It's like, you know, this is what I need. This is what I need from a training perspective that will last me the year. Such as like sterile equipment or a full kit, you know, what have you. So,
you know, it's interesting, Saskia, that Christian says that, because I never even thought about that. You know, obviously we just recently did a parents town hall on the union, and shout out to all the parents that showed up for the parents town hall in regards to understanding how to be a goalkeeper parent, not about the X's and O's of goalkeeper education, but about understanding how to parent a goalkeeper. And one of those things is that process of being involved in the purchasing. Obviously the parents are the ones that have the purchasing power when you're a young player. And so they really need to have an understanding of what they're buying, right?
No, absolutely. And what like I said, you know, what the equipment's used for. And you just can keep using the example of your kid is going to want that glove that they're seeing on their favorite player that might not be. And maybe that is the glove you get for them for games, but depending on your budget, but it might not be what's proper for them in practice, and to have that education and understand why you're buying what you're buying.
And by the way, Christian, feel free to step in anytime. You don't need to wait for me to ask you a question or anything, but kind of getting to what Saskia was saying right there, like, let's kind of talk about like, what are kind of the essentials for stuff? Cause maybe there's some young parents, you know, listening right now, whose goalkeepers are just beginning their journey and they don't know what their goalkeeper needs from the get go. You know, they go into the store and the clerk says, oh, well, this is goalkeeper equipment over here. And they're like, great, we're going to get knee pads, elbow pads, a helmet, rollerblades. They don't know what to get exactly.
I mean, that's why I started a Keeper Stop, you know, now close to 20 years ago, is to provide that level of service. It is a very personal choice. So the first thing I'd like to say to any new goalkeeper or family to goalkeeping is, you know, what do they have that, what do they need that fits the family budget? And first and foremost is obviously goalkeeper gloves. So the exercise that I like to go through that I've done a lot of times is, how to select a goalkeeper glove, right? I mean, that's one of the most important things they're going to go through, because there's a few misconceptions. They feel that, and this is an amazing glove. And we were talking about a Roche finger protection glove, and they feel, oh, this is a $200 glove. It's going to last me the half-life of iron, and I'm going to have, you know, a grip like flypaper or Superman. So with that, it's important to understand what you get. And the way that I like to tell new parents is the better the grip, the worse the durability. The better the durability, the worse the grip. And there's no way around that. So I think the first most important question to answer with any new goalkeeper or goalkeeping family is, what can the family budget afford in a goalkeeper glove? They're perishables. It's like a car, you know, it gets you from point A to point B. It's just the matter of comfort, or the, you know, the stitching in the seat is going to be different, or, you know, the stereo system will be different. The same in goalkeeper gloves. So pick a glove that meets a family budget based on what you can afford.
I love what you just said.
I mean, I remember having to explain that as well, having to buy multiple pairs. Like, I'm like, I need a budget, like, you know, in college, I need a budget for this, and I got to get them through the season. And, you know, they're going to rotate their gloves down, or we have a practice glove and then you have a game glove, or they'll rotate their game gloves into their practice gloves, grab themselves a new pair of game gloves. But I need, you can't just hand a goalkeeper one pair of gloves.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, and go ahead, Christian.
I just say, right, example right here, we have close to $200 Roche game glove. So that's the first question, is budget. What's my budget? And then I have a glove that's on sale at the moment, a $50 goalkeeper glove with finger protection as well. This is suitable for like junior goalkeepers, maybe Sunday league goalkeepers, or high school practice. So determine where you need. Are you an ECNL starting goalkeeper with, you know, entering a college showcase and want the best of the best in finger protection? So budget first, finger protection second. And then to Saskia's point, knowing the different cuts, is what do I choose? Do you need something that's a little bit more minimalist, a negative cut? This is actually Matt Turner's glove, but this is a more minimalist glove by one of the fastest goalkeeper glove companies in the world at the moment, West Coast. So there's a lot of variation. So you pick a glove that fits your hand better. I mean, I'm 5'10" and change and 200 pounds. I can't be in super tight gloves because, you know, it's trying to pull on, you know, sausage, you know, onto, you know, like a gardening glove, you know what I mean? So I gotta find a glove that fits my playing as well as my body style.
You know, Suski, you know, Christian brought up a point in regards to like the budget of the family, because, you know, obviously this is something that comes into play. It's like, okay, if you spend, right, $200 on a glove, well, there's not a lot left in the budget for other types of equipment or training or anything like that.
Well, I think it's also part of that education for the family, for the parents, or for whoever's buying the glove. You know, you want to make your kid happy, right? So the kids at Christmas and stuff, like, I want the $200 Roche glove, right? Now, a lot of parents might look at the kid and say, okay, well, that's your gloves for the year. You know, with a budget, that's an answer. Okay, well, that's the gloves for the year, no more gloves until next, you know, next year or next season. Well, that glove's not going to last. And it's hard to say no to your kids, but if you can, if you have knowledge, or if you get on the phone and talk to Chris about it and stuff, like, that, you can at least explain to your kid why it might not be the best glove at the moment for them, you know. Or you could say, you know, we can keep updating your gloves throughout the season, every so many months, if you get this one. It's a similar style, it's a cheaper price, it's more in the budget, and now we can go back in 3 months and get you another pair, in 2 months another pair, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, you know, and I want to talk about that, you know, Christian, obviously, in regards to like what Suski was saying with the budget there too, because I think a lot of the times, you know, parents out there, outside of just the budget area concerns, is they just go and go with gimmicks, but like somebody sees like something really cool from a toy standpoint, like this rebounder or whatever, and they go, oh, my kid needs that $400 rebounder, and we're going to take that home. And then they use that twice, and they're like, well, that was kind of a waste of my money.
Go back to your earlier question. What does a goalkeeper need? Regardless of level, you need goalkeeper gloves. You need training equipment to protect your body. you know, during training or for games against turf, what have you, the pounding. So gloves, protective equipment, and then, you know, a bag of balls. Everything else is nice to haves. So the family budget is the nice way to go and the nice way to start. And then we can build from there based on need. You know, I'm a high level goalkeeper. I want this grip. I need finger protection. What are my options? And that's what we're good at, right? Is that we can find where need meets budget so that you find something that truly is representative of the goalkeeper. Because here's something that never changes, you know, death and taxes, but in goalkeeping terms, is gloves are perishables. No matter what you do to it, from the first catch to the last catch, they're going to a break, they're going to break down. So find something that meets your family budget. You know, they're gonna break during training with every catch, even if you have perfect technique. They're gonna break every time you put your hand down to stop your momentum, maybe the shift weight or to stop yourself from diving so you can make a second save, as well as to get up. And then thirdly, care. You have to care for these gloves.
Yeah.
So those are the things that are battling against you. There's sweat and bacteria and abrasion that breaks down the glove regardless. So, you know, you gotta find one that meets you.
I like this comment.
Yeah, I was just going to throw it up there right now for those of you guys who can't see this right now, if you're just listening to the audio, Haven Hall Milliner, and shout out to you. By the way, please let us know where you're watching the show from, and also if you're a union member, if you're in the goalkeeping parent community. She says, I would love to see soccer clubs give keepers some sort of gift card / money to help offset the cost. My son is the only goalkeeper on his team, and we spend a lot of money on gloves! Exclamation point. And he will only wear the one gloves! Exclamation point.
You know, and I agree with this. And here's why: because if you're saying, okay, for a field player, all you need is your cleats, your shin guards. We got the rest. We have the balls. We have the cones. We have the fields. We got the rest. We got you covered, right? But hey, little Johnny, or hey, little Sue, we want you to play goal. You're gonna play in goal. You like playing goal. You're our goalkeeper. But you need some gloves. You need to protect your body. You know, there are other things the goalkeeper needs, but, you know, so if we want you to be our goalkeeper, we have to I think every club should have to help the keepers with that, you know, because it is a cost. You are running through a budget with it. Not all families can afford it. And, you know, it's almost like take an ice hockey goalie. It's the most expensive goalkeeper equipment, I think, in any sport to own. I don't know, but I would hope that if you start training somebody on your ice hockey team as a goalkeeper, that the team is giving them some equipment. Because it's like, I've heard it's ridiculously expensive. But I agree with that. And I think it's a great idea. I think clubs should have a little allocation for the goalkeepers.
Christian, any thoughts on that? I know you're slightly opinionated.
Yeah, I mean, obviously our biggest customer base is the customer, the mom and dad, the family, the goalkeeper that needs something. That's our biggest customer base. But we're starting to see more that clubs do buy their goalkeepers, you know, at least a practice pair of gloves. We're getting more college orders to say that, hey, you know, we have $1,000. We need 8 pairs of gloves. So we're happy to give bulk discounts. I mean, I have, you know, a cost that keeps my lights on and keeps my employees paid and them in their homes. But I try to work with every club, every goalkeeper as much as we can. I mean, we're 10% below MSRP just to compete with the biggest players. But then we offer free shipping above 50, 5% back on loyalty programs so you can use it for future purchases, as well as we are the goalkeeper glove experts. There's nobody in the U.S. There's maybe one other person that knows more about goalkeeper gloves across the board than I do. And so I'm happy to share that. I'm happy to share that with anybody.
Yeah, but I think, Haven, I think this is a great, with your idea to go back to the club, and they've even like researched something like Keeper Stop and saying, hey, let's get these goalkeepers gloves, and, you know, they'll do a bulk order and like, and stuff. I mean, squeaky wheel gets the oil, right? So like, make it happen over there, Eastern Pennsylvania, Central Pennsylvania, South Central.
Right? Absolutely. Absolutely. And just to let you know, Haven, we will be partnering with KeeperStop with the Union Goalkeeping, and we got some really cool promotions and discounts and events coming up exclusive for KeeperStop purchasers. And maybe we can do some sort of thing with your club as well, too. We can definitely look into that. I will say this, though. I think that one of the things they could potentially do is offset some of the cost of the dues because of the fact that goalkeepers have to purchase, whether it's training, whether it's equipment outside of the club, that the outfield players don't. So why are you paying the same amount as, you know, the outfield player, you know, who's getting everything provided for?
And then on top of it, having to buy extra equipment.
Exactly. Let's talk about equipment, Christian, because we've obviously been talking about gloves and everything. One of the biggest things that comes up during the holiday time is protective gear. And obviously, depending on what environment you play in is going to determine what type of protection you need. But what are the kind of the essentials for a young foundational goalkeeper?
So the next thing I would go for a purchase would be a goalkeeper jersey. I just have a Joma Zamora kit here as nice and vibrant so you guys can see it. But they have matching short shirt and socks. So something like this goes very well because it's unique. It helps you have some of that individuality, you know, if the team is not supplying it. So matching shirt, short, and sock in that, or just a general jersey. I mean, that's important. After that, between jersey and gloves, I go protection all the way. Now, most of us play on turf, and turf is nasty stuff. People spit, snot, bleed on turf. It's a nightmare waiting to happen. So I suggest the goalkeepers find a manufacturer. We believe a lot in Sterelli. So we do our undergarments, whether it be a short or a full length pant. We do Sterelli. I wear this. This is what I look like when I play. So I'll do this under such a kit, do it underneath. So I'm protecting myself, my hips, but I'm also separating my skin away from the abrasions. If you come out low and hard on a breakaway, you fillet yourself on turf. I wouldn't want any skin exposed. So we do Sterelli shorts or pants as my third must have. Another one I use a lot is the 3/4 goalkeeper shirt, undershirt. Stuff is not inexpensive, but well worth it. I've had mine for years. Thank you, Claudio Sterelli, because he gave it to me, and I still use it in my old man leagues. So this is the Sterelli. I'm fumbling through the shirt here. But this is the goalkeeper 3/4 undershirt with padding on the chest and on the arms. And I feel a bit invincible when I have this stuff on. Through ball, I'm coming out low and hard. Granted, that's technique and training, what have you. But proper equipment definitely helps me as well from a confidence standpoint. Like, I know that I'm not going to leave half my elbow on the ground on, you know, well-worn turf. Or I feel like if I'm going to get on the pants, they have a cup area and they have like a shin guard area. You know, I know that if somebody comes out and tries to take a swipe at me, I'm protected with good technique and good equipment.
I love what you just said right there. And, you know, Saskia, obviously here in Southern California, one of the biggest issues that we get is that a lot of young goalkeepers, because the weather is so constant, you know, they show up in shorts and a t-shirt all the time. And
not just
know,
shorts, but shorts that are rolled twice at the top, like shorts. And like, they might actually be wearing like volleyball gear. And it boggles my mind. And listen, I think there's certain things that come with this as well. The types of field you're training on, comfortability, like, you know, I'm not a gear person. Like, for me, like, padding and stuff is just not me. I was nice and light and everything like that. Now, granted, I was playing on professional fields and everything like that, so that's a different situation. But it just wasn't me, and but other people are, and it does give them confidence. And I think and fields are, even grass fields are just so unpredictable out here as well. You could show up to a game in a grass field, and it's just a nightmare. And so I think that, you know, it comes down to the individual, but, you know, I totally agree with you that knowing that you have the right equipment from head to toe on, that it gives you that confidence. It gives you that extra boost.
You know, and
it's also
part
of a ritual, right? You put it on, you know, you put it on a certain order, you put your pants on, you're like, it's like you're almost strapping on your suit of armor, right? Yeah. And I, and again, to your point, it doesn't have to be Sorelli. Sorelli does have Terper leggings with no padding. As long as you find something that fits you, I know plenty of goalkeepers that just train in a long sleeve cotton shirt, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just as long as you find what works for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and I love what you said, you know, in regards to that, like Christian, in regards to like the longevity of the stuff, because I think, you know, one of the difficult things, especially when we're talking about the holiday season, is parents being like, oh, but didn't I just get you this, you know, last year or whatever? Why do you need another one, type of a thing? So it's like, it's better to like buy, you know, quality over quantity, type of a thing. Right. So if you're going to get some solid protective gear, you know, and it, let's say, obviously, you know, the kid's not growing, let's say he's 16, 17 already, you know, it's going to last them a while, you know, hopefully till they get to college.
Yeah, of course. Well, I mean, I think that equipment in general, you know, you grow out of it, or you grow into something else, meaning Saskia, you go from needing hip padding when you're learning to dive, right, or learning the extension to, you know what, now I'm 16, 17. I don't want padding in a game environment. I only want shorts. Having a full portfolio of goalkeeper gloves and equipment as a developing goalkeeper through your life cycle is very important, because different gloves, you have a practice pair of gloves, you have a game pair of gloves traditionally. You have training equipment such as Sorelli with padding and maybe Sorelli turf burn legging for not. You have a full kit with matching short shirt and socks for your game, but you may have a Sorelli goalkeeper jersey with like high density foam on your elbows for training. Whatever works for you and whatever keeps you protected and performing your best.
Yeah, and I also think that to have those things available, so, you know, you can show up to a tournament, you could show up to a game, and like I said, the field could be unpredictable. And let's say you have been training and used to, you know, you've aged out of, you know, certain things, and you're fine training at your home facility in, you know, long sleeve jersey and shorts, and you get somewhere where you're like, I wish I had, you know, my turfs, or I wish I had something, and you don't. And then it's in your head. So it's, you got to have your little bag, your bag of goodies to make you, just to make you focus.
I always try to keep options with me in my bag whenever I go train, you know, or go play in men's league and everything like that. Cause obviously Christian, as we know, you know, playing men's league, you know, adult league, is that you never know what you're going to deal with. You know, you might show up and, you know, they're like, it's just completely dirt because like the youth game is taking up the other field. And they're just like, well, just throw the old people over there. It's not going to matter or whatever. And there's like glass on the field. And I'm like, well, this is not, I don't know about this one right here. I actually have shown up on a field before and there's been glass on there. So that's a whole other story. That's a whole other podcast.
I trained on dirt pro in Japan. Field in Japan was there. We used to rake it to break up the dirt. Yeah, because like when the dew would settle and then the sun would come out, it would harden. And so like we had these huge steel like rakes, and I'd put one of my like Japanese smaller teammates on the end of the rake, and we'd pull it across the front of the goal mouth and break up the dirt so it was soft.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. By the way, Christian, when you were saying MSRP, all I could think of was like those like, you know, end of the year car like commercials. On like, because I'm like, what does MSRP mean? What? I still don't know.
Suggested retail price.
Oh, okay,
so
gotcha.
All of us distributors in the U.S., say Adidas or Nike or Puma dealers, Roche, Woolsport, you have what's called MAP pricing. MAP pricing meaning it, you have to fall within a certain range. You know, like 100 being high, 90 being the lowest. So MSRP is what the manufacturer suggests to charge. So we don't ruin the brand by lowballing, because truthfully right now you could throw a dart and hit five goalkeeper glove companies and, you know, and distributors on Amazon and, you know, other marketplaces that could be fake. And it's a race to the bottom right now. It's a race to low quality. It's a race to low price. So we carry the best goalkeeper glove brands and equipment brands so that we represent the goalkeeper, but also with that, we have to stay within a certain pricing to keep competitive and not undermine anybody else's activity.
I'm learning a lot today. This is like a whole education in equipment, not just in like the equipment itself, but in like the sales of equipment. I want to bring this up, Christian, because obviously we've been talking about protective gear and we've been talking about, you know, gloves and jerseys and everything like that. What are some of the other essentials for youth goalkeepers out there? Is there anything else? I mean, I know you had brought up glove glue and everything. Is that an essential?
Something, or maybe not. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, you know, I didn't want to say specifically the brand glove glue, cause I'm not sure what your sponsorship is or whatever, but that type of a thing, because I know there's a lot of kids out there, who spray something on the second they get to the field.
Yeah. No, the essentials in goalkeeping: gloves, your jersey and your training equipment. Those are the top three. Then you go to a ball. I mean, we brought out Response Ball too. We use Response Ball as a training ball, as a concentration tool. It's in a few MLS clubs right now being trained, actually with the first team, used in the EPL. So we launched Response Ball 2.0 as well as just a regular ball, a high quality training ball, because I mean, that's what defines you as a goalkeeper, right? Is your ability to control your body as well as the ball. So a good bag of balls is equally as important as any of them to work in goal kicks, work in handling, throw a ball against the wall, have a toss with a partner, your mom or dad or your whomever that's in your household. So the ball would be the second one. The rest of the stuff, I mean, the Munin rebounders, we saw a lot of them. They're great. They're backyard training tools where you can throw it against and, you know, the ball mm-hmm. rebounds back to you. You can work on distribution. You can work on handling. But those are nice to have.
Yeah, those are like, if you've already bought the equipment for your player and you're still looking for something else for the holidays to purchase them. I want to bring up the thing, Saskia, what the Christian just brought up about balls. I can't tell you how many young goalkeepers don't have a bag of balls. Like, they're like, oh yeah, no, I don't have, like, I have a ball at home or something like that.
That's flat.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, and parents out there, honestly, you got to get your kid a quality ball, like, and a bag of balls if possible, because, you know, when you're coaching camps and the kids let's say I love camps that give every camper a ball, because then you know that, you know, you know you're going to have a certain amount of quality ball. If you leave it up to the kids to bring their balls to camp, 90% of them won't, because the parents don't want to bring them to camp because they don't want the kid to lose a ball. And then the other balls that they do bring are the wrong size. They're like the worst balls possibly out there, and they're flat. So, you know, it's soccer. You need a ball, and you need a quality ball to play it. You know, and I think it's and I would tell you first and foremost, even as a goalkeeper, get a ball, okay? Because get a ball, then get your gloves, because you need a ball to play the sport and you need a good one. And it just boggles my mind, the quality that's out there. And listen, this is a budget issue too, but at the same time, there are good enough balls in different budget ranges that for training. There absolutely are.
That's a great point, Saskia. Christian, you don't need a match ball, right? Like, what type of ball do you need that's gonna last you for a while if you're a young goalkeeper?
Something consistent, something that it meets your family budget, but you feel like you have the same contact or touch points mm-hmm. every time that you touch it, that you feel it. You know, so you got to be the one that feels comfortable with it. I mean, that's why we brought out Response Ball. I mean, this thing wobbles and turns, concentration tool, but we also brought out a $60 high-end training ball that would match anybody's $70-$80 game ball, because they're made in the same factories and mine just happens to be cheaper. And so that's why we brought it up, because there were so many goalkeeper coaches like, hey, get us a ball. And I'm like, oh, you know, A, it's not available, or, you know, the ball that I brought out from Response Ball is less money. It has the same flight, better manufacturing standards, better labor standards for manufacturing the ball. And these are all the things that I had to figure out bringing a ball in and having it manufactured. So that's why we cultivated the Response Ball brand. We bought it from somebody in Europe. This training ball, the concentration ball, that's used in half of the EPL at the moment. And then now we brought it to the MLS. But the actual true ball, it's that's what it's there for. So you can buy a couple and be at below $100.
I love that, man. I mean, you know, I think another thing too, when we're talking about like size of ball, Saskia, I can't tell you how many times, like like an 8-year old will show up with like a size 5 ball. And it's like, well, that's what I have at home. It's like my brother has a, you know, or my older sister has a ball and they brought that ball or whatever. Like, you know, like Christian, like should a young goalkeeper have a size 4 ball? Like, and should they only have size 4 balls or should they train with size 5 balls too?
Train with balls that are age appropriate. Right? Mm-hmm. People say that, oh, well, they're, it helps their hands, you know, get used to the bigger ball or whatever. I mean, it's, again, tenets of goalkeeping: control your body, control the ball. So stick within the age requirements, whatever ball is specified by that age group, and have a bag of them so that you can work on distribution, you can work on handling on your own or with a partner. And those balls should be free of, you know, dog teeth holes and hold air through the entire session. I mean, the balls that I manufacture are not terribly inexpensive, but like at $60, it's a high-end training or match ball that you could bring to any field. I just didn't spend the money on FIFA certification that, no offense, cost tens of thousands of dollars when, you know, a goalkeeper coach will buy 50 of them because they want a great ball that meets a certain budget but also has a certain playing profile.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and I, by the way, Saskia, you know, one of the things I also get too a lot of the times is like, kids will show up, I've got balls, and they go, oh, I only train with my ball. I only train with my ball. So they're just not used to, they're not used to using anything but their own ball. And then obviously, you know, I mean, the demands of the game, you're going to have all sorts of different types of balls, you know, constantly. I want to pivot a little bit here, Christian, because I want to talk about like trends. What are some of the trends that you're seeing, you know, this holiday season?
The trends that I saw this and last holiday season are to the training aids. So we developed the keeper stop rebounder, which is clear and see-through. So last holiday season, we had goalkeepers buying it for their goalkeeper coaches. So you could see through it to help work on heading and crossing because goalkeepers have to punch the ball in crossing sessions. That's why we came out with the response ball. The Munin P10 as an example, which is the rebounder that they can throw in the backyard, was wildly successful because they're always looking for ways to keep their child active. So what does it replace, right? It replaces a garage door that costs infinitely more money that you kick a ball against, you know? So, you know, $300 P10 is less money than your garage door.
This is the ball shooting machine.
That's the other one I was just going to mention. We sold a couple of those last year. The Globus ball shooter, you know, very expensive, but, you know, say that you're a aspiring college goalkeeper and that wants to work on certain aspects of your game, season or yearly, you know, at your field or in your backyard. I mean, I have one of them that I create content with, and you know, it's always a favorite that comes out. And I'm, you know, working on in-swinger crosses with strikers and goalkeepers. You know, on a dime, you can put that ball. And yeah, of course, you want field players taking those, but if you want accuracy and consistency, and say that I'm not a goalkeeper coach and, you know, I can serve a few balls, but when I'm serving 50 balls, my leg will fall off. Mm-hmm. You know, this puts it on a dime, backspin, you know, topspin, in swinger, out swinger. So we actually sold a few of those during the holiday season last year for those goalkeepers that do want to play in college that are vying for that scholarship, because, you know, a $7,000 or $8,000 machine, wildly expensive. I know that, you know, that could be the difference between $20,000 to $40,000 to $50,000 savings every year, because you're looking for that scholarship that may or may not be available. But one of the other slides I did send you is the goalkeeper equipment one, and you'll see some of that equipment there. And you know, that's what I'm seeing, is like, what can help elevate me, such as the Synaptive glasses, which are on that picture as well. Synaptive glasses are a visual training aid. They help increase your decision-making and quickness because it's stroboscopic training. So where one may be blocked for a nanosecond, the other one you can see. So your body processing that information changes. Super fun, ton of science. I mean, we've actually sold these to hockey New York Rangers or professional hockey players will say, NFL wide receivers, fencers, tennis players, as well as numerous goalkeepers, so that, you know, your mom or dad or your training partner, whomever, can throw you a tennis ball in your backyard and be like, whoa, what, this thing coming at me. It just helps you process information. The ability to control your body and the ball truly is predicated on how you process information, right? Through whatever technique that you're trying to utilize at that moment. So,
you know, it's funny, Christian, how you bring that up. And first off, you know, like, I know some people saw that price tag. I saw the price tag of the machine and I was like, yeah, I don't know if I'm, I don't know if that's something that that's a foundational goalkeeper's
it is not.
Purchase right over there. but maybe that's something that you discuss with, you know, your club, Saskia, and say, hey, you know what, this might be an investment for the club to make for the goalkeeping department here to have this available, which could be great. You know, Saskia, obviously, you know, we talked about this when we were at convention last year in regards to, like, one of the trends that you were talking about is, like, everything's tech related. Everything is somehow tech related when it comes to goalkeeping now, to assist the goalkeeper. You know, Christian, I know artificial intelligence is something that's been a lot talked about.
I'm like, I said that?
Well, yeah, you did. You said everything's tech. You came out of the soccer expo area or whatever. You're everything's tech. You're like, I don't know. Everything's tech. Everything's AI. But I'm noticing a trend of AI. Is that something that you're also noticing? And on the software tip, are there any softwares that you recommend for young goalkeepers? Christian, you there?
Oh, sorry. I thought you that was to Saskia.
Oh, no, definitely wasn't to me. No.
Definitely not to Saskia. You know, we're lucky she was able to connect her internet. So.
danger. Cannot compute. So. No, so honestly, the best software you could still use is your brain, right?
Yeah.
So I'm always going to go back with the foundational exercises that you can do on your own bare minimum to partner trading. I mean, that's first and foremost. You know, if you need the differentiators, there are, you know, a number of training apps now. You know, there's actually a few websites that I'm not involved with. I don't get anything from. Obviously, you know, you can utilize the Union, you know, as one, right, is an exceptional training resource with a vast goalkeeper coaches you have on there. And there's a variety of other ones that you can reference. So, you know,
so the Venmo did go through, Christian. Good.
Yeah, glad, right.
glad that Venmo went right.
It's true, though, right? Saskia, all of us had to, like, we made it up on the spot a lot of times.
Oh my gosh.
What are we going to do? Now you type in on YouTube, that's Keeper Stop reaches 10 to 15 million goalkeepers on a monthly basis, or goalkeeper enthusiasts. And a lot of that is training content. It's, you know, the difference between shot stopping and the smother save. It's how to take a goal kick. It's how to get recruited. So the amount of information that's out there is amazing. And so Keeper Stop on YouTube or TikTok or Instagram, there's a bunch of information out there. I mean, you have that with the Incisive out of Europe that does a lot of the analytics that's connected. They use the Oculus and other ones where it's VR headsets and you can work on your reactions. I mean, that boggles my mind. I'm totally intrigued, and I'm actually borrowing an Oculus so I can
I'm intrigued
it.
Too. It's just funny, again, just knowing what we didn't have and all these things tools that you have to become such a solid and good goalkeeper. Part of me is just like, I think we did kind of all right though, Chris, like using our heads and figuring it out. But, you know, the world moves forward, and it is interesting, all the stuff that's out there. It's great because there would be plenty of times that I would want to go train and I just had to kind of make it up and figure it out myself from other stuff I did, and go find a tennis wall and like work on stuff against the flat tennis wall and everything. And now to know, like, you have rebounders, you have, you know, jugs machines, you have all these things. It's amazing.
I will say this. Go ahead, Christian.
I was just going to say that it's just we've evolved, but we're still at the same point, right? It's have we become any quicker? Have our goalkeepers become any better in the U.S. as an example? you know, foundationally, you know, we got to get back to the basics, grassroots. You got to get back to having a bag of balls, kicking against the wall, throwing a tennis ball. You know, I would throw a tennis ball against the wall. I would memorize words on a wall. So I work on ocular training so that my eyes would be faster and better and I could help concentration. You know, what we have to get back to is responsibility of ourselves, right? Are you a 98%er? Are you a 2%er? Are the 98% of the people, you know, show up on time? And this is the Dan Gaspar Star Goalkeeper Academy mantra. Do you show up on time? Do you look the part? Do you play the part? Or are you the 2% that really goes above and beyond? And
yeah.
The above and beyond has to be foundationally the extra work that's needed. You want to work on footwork, you throw out some cones and you shuffle. If you need and you have the money, you have the resources, and you truly are vying for that scholarship or a roster spot, let's even say that as a high-level Division I coach, Saskia, you know that scholarships are few and far between. Roster spots are, you know, maybe slightly more available. And if you have to do your, you know, extra work to get there, you do it. You know, if it takes the incisive, you know, Oculus headset, if it takes, you know, more goalkeeper union, you know, subscriptions and digesting that content, you do it, right? And, you know, you pick the educational path and the equipment path that fits your budget and your playing level.
You know, what I was going to say, you know, beforehand, you know, Christian and Saskia, is that I think that one thing that we really need to focus on, and I want all the parents to hear this during the holiday season, is that the number one thing seems to be that both of you have been talking about ownership and, you know, Saskia, that goalkeepers need to take their ownership, whether it's their equipment, whether it's their training, whether it's their education,
clean their gloves.
Great. Yeah. But everything. And so, you know, it's nice for parents to watch this and everything like that, but any young goalkeeper out there, you need to educate yourself and then you need to share this information. You can't just wait for your parents to hand you something under the stocking and be like, oh, great, cool. My parents are doing this all for me. I'm just going to let them keep digesting this content and figuring it out. And then I'll just, you know, just follow along.
Well, yeah, I mean, it goes back across the board. Why do you want those pair of gloves? Why do you want, you know, the response ball? Why do you want this certain equipment that goes under your clothes? Is it because De Gea was wearing it, or is it serve a purpose? And if you educate yourself on why you need things, if you take care of your equipment, I used to, it's also ritualistic. It's also respect for the equipment. I know that sounds weird. I always clean my gloves. I clean my cleats as well. Like I had my back in the day with my kangaroo leather, and now you'll get, got my mink oil out and everything. And I clean my cleats, but you know, it's a focus thing as well. And those things are important. That's 2%. Absolutely. Pride. I don't believe in just showing up and looking the part and hoping somebody else guides me on my way.
Mm-hmm. And I love what you just said right there. You know, if you're a young goalkeeper out there listening, you know, and there's something you really want, you know, for the holidays, you know, and you approach your parents, you know, give them context on why this is something that would be useful for you, as opposed to like, man, these cleats are really cool. It's like, all right, well, you know, you might end up with something that you didn't want, you know, because you just said those cleats look cool, and they're like, well, he doesn't really need those, or she doesn't really need those, but they served a purpose. I want to talk about, you know, kind of like wait, Kristen, do you have something right there you wanted to show real quick?
No, I'm just getting ready for the 2023 holiday features. If you really look to my left, there's a mound of gloves that just keep getting higher and higher.
Oh, we can't see it from here. You're gonna have to turn the camera.
Let's see.
We gotta see
it. The 2023 holiday features.
Oh my god!
Nice. When we're ready, I want to keep aligned with Michael's questioning. So,
all right, let's start wrapping this up. And Christian, we appreciate you taking the time. Obviously, this is literally, you know, we always joke with everybody who comes on the show. This is a really busy time of year for you. This is literally the busiest time of year for you. Like, you're getting ready for Black Friday, Cyber Monday, all that sort of stuff. So this is, we really appreciate you taking the time. Any kind of final advice for parents out there who are purchasing goalkeeper equipment for the first time?
Yeah, I mean, the final advice that I would say is, again, utilize your resources, your goalkeeper coaches, you know, the soccer mom, soccer dads, people in your goalkeeping community. But we're here. Keeper Stop is here for you to help you select the best glove or equipment that meets your budget and playing need. That's what we're here for. That's what separates us from everybody else. This is why we've developed and built this goalkeeper community that we help influence and share a part of the experience. Like right now, as an example, we have goalkeepers, you know, signing for the respective colleges that I've been with keeper since that they were 9 or 10 years old that are signing for top level Division I schools or MLS Next program. And they're like, thank you. You're a part of it. You were actually a part of the process. You were a part of the whole planning. And we appreciate it. That's why we're here. Maybe I'm not training them on a daily basis, but we're a part of it because we're like, this is what you need to reach your goals. This is what we need that fits your budget. This is what you need that's going to keep you healthy and performing your best.
Yeah. Yeah. Susk, anything you want to add to that?
Nope.
Okay. You're like, nope, short and short and sweet on
one
that.
One thing I would like to share, Michael, is just like to your point, for 2023, we have some sales going on right now. So we beat up some manufacturers. So Roche has given us the ability to offer a 50% discount on certain models. So this one we have is the Attrak Dual Evolution Cut, 50% off. For our goalkeeper that was looking for one glove, we worked with One Glove to put together a game and practice model. Because I just hate offering arbitrary discounts because, again, I got to pay somebody something on the other side of it. So we try to provide a little bit more value. So we have a game glove as well as a practice option for around $100.
I love that. I love that to have the them combined. And so you're like, here's your game, here's your practice. You get two gloves for under $100, and you know what they're for. And that is awesome.
I mean, that's one of those head exploding.
I'm like Haven back in Central Pennsylvania. Call right now because there's a good deal for you. Yeah. He's got practice and game under $100. You get both gloves. Look at us. Now I feel like I'm on QVC.
Black Friday is the Roish. This is Cyber Monday. But we also have a 10% off coupon code throughout. But it's, again, because we just want to provide value and help people save a little bit of money. Some stocking stuffers because, again, maybe you don't have the budget. You know, you can go with cedar chips to help them smell well between training sessions so they don't smell like dirty socks. You know, to your point, the glove wash. Maybe you don't need the glove glue all the time, maybe when the glove starts to break down, but you do need to clean your gloves, and glove glue has given us a colossal deal as well. So, you know, hell, you could buy Keeper Stop coupon or gift cards for your goalkeepers to support a small business, but also give to your goalkeeper so they can select whatever they want. Or, you know, any of the items that we spoke about today.
Nice.
I love it. I love it. I do feel like we're on QVC right now. We got the scroller going on the bottom of the screen right there. We got the images showing up right
you
here.
You got the clock counting down.
By now, for this limited time, you could also get
10.
We've sold 50.
And for the
Thank
holiday
you,
season.
Thank you, from California. Thank you.
My favorite thing is like they'll always be like they're like Saskia Weber, like World Cup champion Saskia Weber, and just introducing her new line of blah blah blah. It just shows up.
I would be happy to be Lori Grenier. Are you kidding me? I'm like, oh my gosh, forget it.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, obviously we've entered plug time. So like I was talking about earlier. Love it earlier. For those of you guys who are unfamiliar, there is a platform called the Union Goalkeeping Community. It's an app available on Google Play and Apple stores and on a desktop version as well, too. We have a basic and a premium. You really want to go with the premium, $4.99 a month or $49.99 a year. That's where, honestly, all the really cool stuff happens. The basic is an engagement forum, which is great, and you can engage and connect with other goalkeepers out there. But the real fun comes in Union Premium, and we're going to be doing some stuff with Keeper Stop there as well. But one of the things that I really, really love, and we were talking about it, Christian, in regards to value during this time and taking ownership, is young goalkeepers out there connecting and utilizing resources. And one of the things that I really, really absolutely love about this platform, and we've discussed it as well, is the Pro Mentors and the office hour scheduler system. I'm a massive proponent for this. Whether it's a young goalkeeper that's connecting with a Division I goalkeeper such as Owen Cornell, or you know, working with a professional coach like a Sergio Gonzalez at NWSL Racing Louisville, or a 99 World Cup winner like Saskia Weber, it's just a really, really massive to be able to learn and engage from other people. And a lot of people say, hey, you know, what do I bring up during office hours? But that also comes, Christian, right, with ownership. Like if you're scheduling a training session with your goalkeeper coach, you don't just show up and just expect them to do something for you. Give them some sort of direction that you want to go with your training, right? So it's the same thing in the virtual world.
If I could put it in context briefly, is like how many high school goalkeepers you see walking around with their Starbucks, Frappuccino or Dunkin' Donuts that cost $5, you know, to accelerate or elevate their goalkeeping experience. The Union platform definitely allows you to have access to high-level goalkeeper coaches. I mean, I've listened to some of these podcasts, and it blows my mind. And this is somebody who's been doing it for a long time. You learn something new every time. Maybe it's a coaching point. Maybe it's a different way to do a drill or to deliver a message. You know, and for $4.99, the cost of your, you know, your Dunkachino or Frappuccino that you're throwing away, you have access to a plethora of goalkeeper content. To me, is truly amazing. And that, and again, you didn't ask me to do that. This is what I did.
No, so I'm like, but can I we believe, just run that? Can we run that as a commercial now?
I mean, and I,
that was awesome. I mean, thanks, Chris, but it's true.
No, but I mean, you know, I think one of the really cool things about that, you know, is that first off is that it's not just passive content out there, because I think nowadays it's really all about engagement, Saskia. And I know you did an office hours last week with a young parent of some young goalkeepers. And so everybody out there can benefit from mentoring, you know, and getting advice, you know, and getting feedback on videos or college recruiting or nutrition or whatever it is that they want to focus on during their office time.
Yeah. There's a mentor there for it. And, yeah. You know, I love the analogy of your, you know, your Frappuccino or whatever it is you're walking around with, your latte. You could have take one latte out of the week, because you probably buy one every day, and you could, you know, be sitting on a call with, you know, with coaches that were totally inaccessible anywhere else, to be honest with you. And like, and not to toot anybody's own horn, but you know, you can get office hours next week and we can have an 1 hour meeting and we can go over video and talk about what's going on. Or that wasn't my meeting. My meeting is obviously private, but what it was about, but yeah, I had a meeting with you know, goalkeeper's parent and had a great conversation and, you know, really just, you know, hammered some stuff out that they had questions about.
You know, and last thing, and I know this is feeling a little infomercially here, but I really am passionate about this, Christian, in regards to the fact about goalkeeper parents community. We have a private goalkeeper parents community that's only available to goalkeeper parents. If you're a coach, you are not allowed to join. Because we want that to be a safe space where goalkeeper parents feel comfortable. We have special events just for them. I know this is something that you've been really big about in regards to goalkeeper parent education. Why is that something that's so passionate to you?
So for me, goalkeeping, you know, you're on an island, right? In order to, you know, to truly develop as a goalkeeper, it's like you need, we're social creatures. We need a positive feedback loop. We need mentors that are going to help our game. And for, you know, traditionally, that's the parent is the front line of that. They're the first ones that they see after a game to help deal with, you know, the trials and tribulations of a game, the highs and lows. So I think it's important for parents to understand of how to help their goalkeepers cope with the pressures of goalkeeping. We're not asking to solve goalkeeper problems, but we can help advise, or within a safe space, they can help each other solve that problems. Like, how do I help my son or daughter, whomever, how do I help them recover from a bad game? Or What do you do, you know, to help your son or daughter, you know, recover from a game? What conversations do you bring up outside of goalkeeping to get their mind off of it. What do you do after a game? Do you take them for ice cream? Do you have their favorite dinner? And you don't talk about it, whatever it is. I just think that parents feel like they need to solve problems for goalkeepers when we don't give them the right tools to solve life problems. And maybe in that safe environment, they can help each other solve it through trial and error. This is what works with my daughter. Don't pressure her, because don't talk about the bad ball she played out of the back right away. Give it a couple of days. Let her come to you. Parents need that safe space, but they also need they need coaches to help them as well in different spaces and on how to deal with those problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and I think, you know, as we kind of start wrapping this up.
Parents out there that haven't signed up yet, this isn't something like when we did our first town hall where it was just like a bunch of parents. We had certain experts in there to help navigate and help give you the tools. It was a mental health episode, town hall, and it was to give you the tools, different options of tools that you can use to help with situations. It wasn't just all of us talking. Like,
wasn't just 20 parents showed up on a 20 parents showed up on a Zoom and it's like, what do I do?
I was just bitching or something. No, it wasn't.
You know how they do those breakout rooms, Christian, sometimes on a Zoom call, and it's like all of a sudden you'll get thrown in a breakout room and it's you're like, there's like four random people in there and you're like, hi. They're like, hey. They're like, this is a networking room. I'm like, okay, hello.
Yeah, no, there were experts there, so.
I want parents, if they take one thing away from this conversation, is like they can utilize Christian from KeeperStop as a reference. Michael, Saskia, you were a reference. And I know that if somebody truly needed you, you would answer a question or be there for them. And absolutely, that's what's most important, because sometimes I didn't have that support as a developing goalkeeper, as a youth. That's why mm-hmm. I go above and beyond. I know that's why you guys are involved in this, so that you're giving back to the goalkeeper community, providing them with resources that they wouldn't have. Because unfortunately, it is what it is. Goalkeeping is an afterthought, you know, definitely in the US. You know, it's the last to receive specialized training or more current modern training. They're the last to get the equipment. They're traditionally the last to get feedback. And if it is feedback, it's negative.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Christian, honestly, man, this has been awesome. Yeah, this has been really great. Obviously, you know, a lot of cool stuff going on with KeeperStop. I believe you're starting to put some stuff that we're going to be migrating some stuff from KeeperStop, some select equipment into the Union store in the next few days. And I know that we're going to be doing some different promotions and events, and those will be, you know, kind of mentioned very soon, probably after Cyber Monday. We'll let you get through all of this craziness first, and then we'll get at it. I do want to throw up a real quick shout out to Richmond Goalkeeping Academy. We're heading out to Richmond Goalkeeping Academy on December 15th, I believe it is. We're going to be helping out with the charity out there. I'm also going to be hosting the Keeper Wars tournament, and we'll be doing some live shows. So shout out to Amanda and everybody at Richmond Goalkeeping Academy. I'm looking forward to going to Richmond, Virginia. I haven't been there in a few years. And also, there is the United Soccer Coaches Convention going on in January in Anaheim. Siski and I will be there for that. There's a Keeper Wars tournament going on there too for adults. So maybe Christian can participate in that and showcase his adult league skills in that Keeper Wars tournament. If you want to know more about that, you can reach out to United Soccer Coaches themselves. Obviously, guest suggestion, topic suggestion, contact at insidethe18media.com or at Goalkeeper Podcast on the Union. Christian, I believe it's at KeeperStop on the Union. Is the handle
at KeeperStop? I'm available on the inside, the 18, the Union, however you want to contact me, any of the social media platforms, give us a follow, send us a direct message. I'll get to what I can. But I actually did put a coupon code active for your community only. It is capital UGK23, and it saves an additional 10% off of non-sale items, excluding Globus and those big things. But it's already active for Union member. So enjoy. Contact us with any questions. We're happy to help.
That's awesome. We'll make sure to put that in the show notes. Obviously, you can reach out to Saskia at Saskia on the Union platform, or me at Goalkeeper Podcast on the Union. That is all the time
Bye,
on Inside
guys.
The 18. Have a happy... Oh, no, we already said happy Thanksgiving, because this is releasing in the future. So
bye, everybody.
Hopefully you enjoyed your Thanksgiving. Happy holidays, everybody. We're out. Later.